to two godly women. Two godly women who have left this scene of time and have gone to be with their Lord and Saviour. Makes it so different when you know where the person is, doesn't it? It changes the whole atmosphere of the meeting. When you know that the person you're there to remember and to give thanks for is with Christ, which is far better. And sometimes when we're brought face to face with death, it's then we start to think about our own eternity. Because there's one thing for sure, as you look along the hillsides. I was standing in the cemetery in Ballyclare, and the speaker said, just look around you and see all the headstones. It reminds you that one out of one die. And barring the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ, every one of us gathered in this meeting this evening, at one point we're going to face death. You and I are going to come face to face with death, our own death. And the question is, how will you get through that experience? Will you come through it like those I've talked about? Will it be absent from the body and present with the Lord? Or will you be lost without hope in a Christless hell? Because that's really what I want to bring before you this evening. And as we come to Joshua chapter 3, we read about the children of Israel. They're standing on the banks of the River Jordan. Beyond Jordan is the promised land. And I know we can often see this as a picture of the believer dying to self and going on with the Lord. But we also look at it sometimes as Jordan speaks of death and judgment. And beyond Jordan is the promised land for those who know and love the Savior. And the question is, how can you face death? How can you come through? How can you reach the other side? How can you be sure of glory tonight? And I think in this little story we can see a picture of that this evening. Look at verses 2 and 3 that we read together. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. Remember, the crowd of people are standing and the leaders are going through. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, that's the key. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. The key to getting through Jordan was the Ark of the Covenant. Let me say, the Ark of the Covenant is a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ. And that's the key for you and I to get through death and to reach the other side and to know that all's well with our soul. It's all about Christ. It's not about a church, not about a creed, not even baptism. It's all about Christ tonight. You need to have your eyes upon Christ this evening. The Ark speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to do this very simply and very quickly tonight. Exodus 25, verse 22, the Lord speaks about the Ark. He's given Moses the instructions. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat. That's just the lid that was upon the Ark. And between the two cherubim which are upon the Ark of the Testimony. Of all things which I shall give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Everything centered on the Ark. Everything centered on the person of Jesus Christ. Verse number 6. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant. The job of the priest was to lift up the Ark. My job tonight is to lift up Christ. I don't want you to see a preacher tonight. I don't want you to see the Baptist church tonight. I want you to see Christ tonight. And I must lift up Christ. The Lord Jesus says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now, let me give you some details about the Ark of the Covenant this evening. Let me say, it's made of a wood called shittim wood, sometimes called acacia wood. This wood is known by the Hebrews as the incorruptible wood. This is a wood that had no known diseases. And this wood would grow out of the land. And this wood speaks of the humanity of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he was fully man. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The Lord Jesus Christ was fully man this evening. You know, that makes him so special. That means tonight, if you're saved, no matter what you're going through, Jesus Christ understands. He walked in this earth. He was fully man. He knows what it is to be weary. He knows what it is to weep. He knows what it is to stand at a grave and for the tears to come down his eyes. He knows what it is to be hungry. He knows what it is to suffer pain. And dear child of God, whatever you're going through tonight, he knows all about it. And he's able to help you tonight. And maybe there's a saint of God here and you're going through a difficult time. And the Lord's saying to you tonight, just turn your eyes upon Jesus tonight. See what Christ can do for you this evening. He was fully man. But we also read in Exodus 25 that thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. This wood also was overlain with pure gold. So you have the wood and you have the gold as one. Gold in the scripture speaks of deity, something eternal, something precious, something that is the most valuable of all. Jesus Christ was not only man, he was fully God. This is amazing tonight. That's what Christmas is all about. That God was manifest in flesh. He is fully man, and yet he is fully God. It's something that blows our mind this evening. You see it in Scripture. You see his humanity and his deity. You see it when it came to the woman at the well. He was weary with the journey. He had to sit down. He was a man. And yet he knew all about her past. He'd never met her before. He knew that she had five husbands and the man she's with wasn't her husband. He knew all about her. He never met her. Only God could know such a thing. He was fully God. He was fully man. He would fall asleep on the boat because he was man. And yet he could stand up and he could say to the waves, peace be still, because he was God. He could stand at the grave of Lazarus and he could weep. And yet in a few days' time he would say, Lazarus, come forth. And he could raise Lazarus from the dead. He was fully man. And yet he was fully God. See his humanity, see his deity. You know, we're told that the ark had a crown of gold. Not only do you see his humanity and deity, you even see his majesty tonight. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See how the ark speaks of Christ? You know, within the ark, they put the Ten Commandments, the two tables of the law. Christ said when he came here, he fulfilled the law. Neither you or I could do such a thing. Neither you or I could keep the Ten Commandments because we sin in thought and word and deed, because we're born in sin and we're shapen in iniquity. But he was totally without sin. Speaks of his purity tonight. Within the ark there was a golden pot of manna. That speaks of his sufficiency. None but Christ can satisfy. Within the ark was an item called Aaron's rod. An Aaron's rod was something that was dead, and yet it came to life. Aaron's rod bought it. That speaks of his victory, because Jesus Christ would go to Calvary. On the cross, he would die for your sin and my sin. They would put him in the grave, and praise God, on the third day he would rise again and defeat sin and death and hell. What a Savior we have tonight. And when you see the ark, you see his humanity, his deity, his majesty, his purity, his sufficiency, his victory. And you know, there's a whole lot more that I could say about it this evening. I want you to see Christ tonight. See the ark tonight. Then when we come back to Joshua, you see the anxiety here tonight. Verse number 4. Yet shall there be a space between you and it, there'll be 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. And here's a little phrase, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. They're standing facing the Jordan. They'd never been through it before. One day you and I will face death. We've never been that way before. Yes, we've stood at graves. We've maybe sat at our father's bedside and see him slip into eternity. Maybe you've had that experience in many, many different ways. But we haven't gone through that way yet. We've not passed that way heretofore. And there can be that anxiety. How can we be absolutely sure? It's interesting in verse 2, it talks about after 3 days. The answer's found in the third day, isn't it? Because on the third day that Christ rose again. Isn't this an amazing book? You see the ark, you see the anxiety, you see the answer. Now follow this just with me. Look at verse 13. Here's how they get through the Jordan. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest, remember they're carrying the ark, that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were come into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all its banks at the time of harvest. Then the waters that came down from above stood up and rose upon a heap far from the city of Adam that is beside Zarephath. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea field, and were cut off, and the people passed right over Jericho. I want you to see the ark as they bring the ark into the Jordan. A miracle happens. The waters begin to roll back. And a way is made through. For those that stood facing Jordan, and they're filled with fear, and they're filled with anxiety, and as they kept their eye on the ark, remember speaking of Christ, and as the ark went down in, the waters rolled back, and there was a way. And this speaks of what Christ has done for us. You see, when Christ went to the River Jordan to be baptized, do you remember how he submitted himself to baptism? And Christ went in under the water. And he came up out of the water again. And here's this ark going down into the River Jordan. And it speaks of Christ going down into death. And Christ went down into death and defeated sin and death and hell on Calvary's cross. And made a way for sinners to get to glory. Oh, there was no way. The banks had overflown. There was no way to get through. But Christ made a way when he shed his precious blood on the center cross so that men and women and young people would know no matter what happens, it is well with their soul. You know, if you're still in Joshua, look up to chapter 4, verse 10. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished. When the work was done, the work was complete, and the people passed through. When Christ was hanging on the cross, he cried that triumphant cry, "It is finished," and redemption's price was paid in full. And because Christ went down into death and defeated sin and death and hell and rose again, there's a way that has been opened up for you and I this evening. Do you fear death tonight? Do you have the assurance tonight that God's people have in this meeting, all who are going through the waters of baptism, are identifying that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior? You know, when they go down into the water, they're identifying with the death of Christ. When they go in under the water, they're identifying with the burial of Christ. When they come up out of the water, they're identifying with the resurrection of Christ. Going into the water saying, old things are passed away. Coming out of the water saying, all things are become new. It's not that this is going to add to their salvation or make them more saved. They're identifying with what Christ has done. When Christ was baptized, he was saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down into death and die for you on the cross. And when the candidates go through tonight, they're saying, we're identifying with what Christ has done. Because we're depending on Christ and Christ alone. What are you depending on to get to heaven? Maybe tonight you're a little bit blasé about it. Well, I think when we die, we're put in the ground and that's the end. Is that what you feel tonight? There's an article on the paper today about a man. He was an evil and a wicked man, and he's been buried in Northern Ireland. Just in the past couple of days, he's in a grave. There was no ceremony. There was no singing. There was nothing. He's in a grave. It's not even marked. And somebody said he was just thrown into the ground and that's the end of him. Let me say, that's not the end of him. Because now he's either with Christ or he's in a lost sinner's hell. That's not the end of it. What about you tonight? Are you ready tonight that no matter what happens, you have this blessed hope in your heart that you're going to be with Christ, which is far, far better? As you come to death, you've no hope tonight. You've no assurance tonight. You just don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you're thinking, well, I'll just wait a little bit longer. Perhaps, and I'm not scaremongering tonight, I'm just being honest. Perhaps this could be your last opportunity. Never again will you sit in a gospel meeting. Never again will you hear the pleas of Christ. I've preached the gospel now over 25 years, and I know people that have sat in gospel missions and people that have sat in gospel meetings like this, and they've died without Christ. They've never made any profession of faith. As far as I'm aware, they're lost in hell tonight. And let me say this tonight. They would give anything they could to have that seat of yours tonight in this meeting. If they could only come and sit in another gospel meeting, just let us sit in one more meeting. We'll not make the mistake we made. We'll not walk out without Christ. Are you going to make that preparation tonight? As you see family and friends and those you know within this church go through the waters of baptism, will you be able to say with them, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord? Will you come and know their Savior tonight and trust in Him as your own and personal Savior? You know, I have notes here and I don't think I've been able to see a note tonight because the Lord has just taken me in a certain direction, and I believe God's speaking to someone in this meeting tonight. And I'm anxious about your soul. I'm anxious that someone here tonight could find themselves in a lost sinner's hell. And my hands have to be clean tonight. My hands have to be clean. I want to be pure from the blood of all men tonight. I have to speak like this to you tonight because I want you to get saved. You know, this is the 3rd of March. I was interesting today. I always like to do a wee bit of research. On the 3rd of March, 1985, the miners' strike came to an end. Some of you as old as me will remember the miners' strike. You remember Mrs. Thatcher took on the miners. There were 220,000 miners working when the strike began. In 2005, there were 7,000 miners left in the United Kingdom. Things really did change. But there's a man associated with the miners at that time, a man by the name of Arthur Scargill. And I don't know much about Arthur Scargill. I don't know if he knows the Lord, he ever trusted the Lord. I don't know anything about him. But I read this afternoon. He was being interviewed one time and he held out his arms like this and he made the shape of a cross. And he said these words, I don't know why people hate me that have never met me. And if you know your Bibles, the Lord Jesus Christ said that he would be hated without a cause. And the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that cross was hated without a cause. He did no sin. In him was no sin. He knew no sin. And yet they took him and they nailed him to a cross. And Christ was hated without a cause. Let me ask you very bluntly this evening, why do you hate Christ tonight? Why do you hate him tonight? Because when you turn your back on Christ, you're saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We take the place of those that spat upon him and those that hated him without a cause. Why do you hate Christ tonight when he went to Calvary in order to be your Savior? I would encourage you tonight to throw down those arms of rebellion, to swing your heart's door widely open and invite Christ to be your Savior tonight. You know, there's going to be a baptism here. I'll be about. If you want to talk to me about your soul tonight, I'm here to talk to you.
have a real fear in my heart that someone tonight could cross the deadline, find themselves in hell. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God this evening. Lord, we just pray that you would speak unto some heart lovingly, graciously, tenderly, Lord. There are those in the meeting who are not ready. They don't know the Savior that the candidates know tonight. Lord, will you speak to them tonight? Lord, will you save them tonight? Lord, nearly make it impossible for them to leave without Christ as their Savior even tonight. And Lord, we'll say to God be the glory. For it's in and through our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite Stephen to come and sing, and the candidates will leave and get ready.
Earth is no more. Thank you, Stephen, for ministering to us this evening. Let's just close this part of the meeting in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do believe that the hush of eternity has been known in our gathering tonight. Lord, the question that was posed to the prophets of old is posed once again this evening. What wilt thou do at the swelling of Jordan? Lord, for those outside of Christ, we pray, Lord, you would continue to challenge them about what they will do when they come to that moment they face the unknown of death. Lord, we pray that before this evening's over, they will know that great assurance, Lord, and that great certainty that we've been singing about, knowing that they will close their eyes in death and open them in glory. Lord, we just pray once again you will continue to speak to hearts, even as the voice of man goes silent. Now, Lord, we do pray for the next aspect of our meeting, for those as they are baptized. Father, we pray you'll remove any nerves, any fear they may have, and we just pray that there will be a great sense of joy, Lord, and a great cause to rejoice as we see these men moving on in the things of God and growing more and more into the image of Christ. And Lord, we pray you'll continue to bless them and keep your hand upon them in the days to come, for we ask it all in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.